It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. Friday before Florida, Kentucky. Thanks for joining me here on this Twitter Spaces chat. Ahead of Florida, Kentucky. I keep wanting to call Kentucky, Tennessee for some reason. Earlier in the week, I wanted to call Tennessee, Kentucky. It has happened to me all week. I don't know why. Don't know why I want to do that, but. So we'll get your guys' thoughts in here if you want to talk some football ahead of Florida, Kentucky tomorrow. Some big games in the SEC. Miami going down last night on a doink field goal. Started last night, so some good games on Saturday. Plenty to look forward to with Florida and Kentucky. My co-host Will Miles, if you read his article yesterday on Read and Reaction, he's got a close game between Florida and Kentucky. I got a close game, but I think Florida stretches it late. AR plays, we'll know. We'll see. More explosive. Sounds like he'll play. All right, let's go ahead and get started right here. Ken is in here. Let me bring you in here, Ken. All right, Ken, man, you're in here.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
I was wondering what your thoughts are from what you've heard this week about how well prepared the team is and the young players, how they'll handle this environment on Saturday.
Yeah, Mullen said, he was very complimentary of practice this week. You know, he's pretty truthful with that. He'll say if there's some things he doesn't like in practice during the week. But on his Thursday radio show, he did mention it's been a really, really good week of practice. I've also heard that as well. It's been a really good practice for this team. Welcome news. They've been working on the physicality, the tackling that they know they'll have to bring forward against Kentucky all week. That's been a point of emphasis all week. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it should be a point of emphasis all the time, but I guess, you know, you ramp it up just a little bit when you know you play a team like Kentucky. Tackling is always important. So to me, it shouldn't have to be ramped up this week. It probably be whatever level you're working on tackling this week should probably be the level it's always at, when you're getting ready, for a season and preparing for games. But it is a point of emphasis this week just because that's the brand of football Kentucky likes to bring to the table. Yes, they've changed OCs. Yes, they've brought in a quarterback to open up the offense, but it's within opening up the offense of what they are already known for. Now, eventually they may recruit, they may develop away from that, but right now on the heels of Eddie Grant leaving and Colin coming in as OC, they're still going to be that tough, hard-nosed run team that starts there. But, you know, the team has to be ready for that physicality, so that's the big point of emphasis this week, especially on defense. In practice this week, you got a lot of young guys. I mean, Emery, he's been around the program. He's made some plays. He's been involved in some big road environments already, but, you know, just like the first game of the season, this is his first start in that situation. So how does he handle that there? Looking, you got a player like Xavier Henderson, who, in his second year in the program, he's played a lot of football, but this would be his first big time road environment. He played a lot in 2020, of course, but you didn't get that stadium, that opponent stadium filled up to the brim and loud crowds. And now, you know, a player like Xavier Henderson, he's playing in his first environment like this as well. So how does it all come together? I don't think it'd be that big of a deal. Now, this isn't Alabama coming to Florida and dealing with a crowd like that. Don't get me wrong. Kentucky fans will be loud. Kentucky fans will be ready to go. But you're still looking at 60, 65,000 people compared to the 90,000 that Florida had and making the big difference. So, I mean, you got to be prepared for it. Don't get me wrong. And you have a lot of guys who haven't played in that situation at all yet. But it's not like it's going to be what Florida fans gave to Alabama fans a couple weeks ago. So be prepared for it. Make sure your communication's right. Make sure your signals are good to go. You know, you can't have the situation like Florida had a couple years ago versus Georgia, and the wrong wristbands, communication was wrong. You know, at least go out there and don't kill yourself and don't shoot yourself in the foot in that regard. But I think they'll be fine. You know, it's nothing new for Emory. Yeah, it's his first start, but he was in Baton Rouge in 2019 when that was one of the best environments in college football. If you went to a Baton Rouge game, an LSU game in Baton Rouge in 2019.
I mean, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, so he's dealt with that. He knows what that is. He's not going to be taken by surprise or anything like that. So as far as that goes, I think Florida will be fine. You know, they use a lot of signals anyway now. That's something that's kind of changed a bit with this offense, and especially when they go up-tempo. Florida's went up-tempo a good bit this year, and, of course, you're dealing with signals. You're not huddling up and trying to make a play call in a huddle where communication is very needed and imperative. Now you see this team run a play, they'll line up, they'll look to the sideline, they'll get the signal, and then they'll go. So at least they're already used to that as well. They're not implementing anything new, so per se, to get this offense going with signals, so that they're used to that as well. So I don't think it'd be much of a factor, and will we be able to tell? Now, I guess you can look at false starts and that type of thing, and when they go to change the play, what is communication like as well? But I think initially it won't be that big of a deal for the Gators.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, man. All right. Hop in here. If you want to talk just a little bit, Florida, Kentucky. Big game up front on defense, of course. And I'm not breaking any news there. That's not an original thought, original idea, of course. But I think you're going to have somebody's name you haven't heard a whole lot of this year. I think, you know, for this Florida defense, especially up front, to play its best. You know, is that a linebacker who's making tackle after tackle? This might be the game where we miss Ventrell Miller the most. And I don't think Ventrell Miller's the best linebacker out there, but this is the type of game that he lived for. This is the type of game he would put his head in there and come out of the game with 12, 13 tackles. Does Florida have that guy, at linebacker, that's going to stick their head in there and get many, many tackles this game? So is this a game for, you know, Mamu Diabate or Jeremiah Moon or Tyron Hopper, where, you know, that's the guy's name you're going to hear over and over, or it's the guy up front? You know, we've seen the highlights of Gervin Dexter the last couple weeks and his progression. You know, is it his name up front that we hear a whole lot, or is it Valentino, Truesdale, Newkirk? You know, it's going to be a guy, those three linebackers I mentioned, those four guys at defensive tackle / defensive end, bring in Zach Carter as well. You know, we're going to hear one of those guys, maybe a couple of those guys, we're going to hear their name a lot Saturday night, because, you know, if this defense is doing what we want it to do, if the front seven is doing the job that they need to do to stop Kentucky, hold that run game in check, you're going to hear those names a lot. Is it so-and-so with another tackle behind the line of scrimmage, or, you know, another run stuff by Jeremiah Moon, Mamu Diabate, Tyron Hopper? I mean, that you're going to need that. You're going to have one player, two players up there in that front seven that go over double-digit tackles. And I'm not talking tackles 7-8 yards downfield. You know, this is guys who are going to be needing tackles behind the line of scrimmage, guys at 2 yards gained for Kentucky. So that's where I think, you know, something to look for there. Is there a player or two that you just hear their name over and over and over again stopping that Kentucky run game? All right. Tyler's getting in here. Hey, Tyler. You're...
Sorry, my mic was off. So I read on Twitter this week, and the stat blew my mind because I've seen every game since then, and I just never put two and two together. But I guess we haven't had a pick six since Chauncey took it back against Michigan way back in the 2017, 2018, something like that. And that stat blew my mind, and it just got me thinking, you know, have we just not recruited that well in the secondary, or is it a Grantham scheming thing to where he just doesn't put guys in position to break on the ball?
I lean more with the scheme. Now, don't get me wrong, recruiting it has taken a dip there in the secondary as well, but I still think it's more scheme when you got guys playing so far off and padding the coverage a bit more than they really should. But yeah, that stat's crazy. I didn't really think about it either till I saw it there. You know, shout out to I saw Patrick Simpson. He was the one.
Yeah, I think that's who I saw as well.
Yeah, so that's nuts. Yeah, it was in the bowl game of the 2018 season, last game of the season. So Florida has not had a pick six since the Peach Bowl game. There, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's last game as a Gator as well. So that has been it. And then I went and looked it up. The last defensive touchdown, not as long ago as you thought, it was a Zach Carter fumble return versus Arkansas last year.
Yeah,
in that game. So that's the last defensive touchdown. But yeah, the last pick down for the Gators in the Peach Bowl. And you're right, it's just, and I've said it all week. I asked Mullen about turnovers on Monday. Yeah, in the press conference. Getting pressure up front, you're getting sacks. You think that would lend itself. The coverage is so soft back there that it doesn't matter. You know, if there's an inaccurate throw, they're still not able to break on the ball because they're so far off the receivers. So I think if you can tighten the coverage a bit, but, you know, that just goes for just in general. Yeah, we want tighter coverage just for breaks on the ball and making the tackle after the catch is made, not having to have a – you know, 3, 5, 7 yard pad where a defender has or an offensive player has time to make a move, break a tackle. It helps the offensive players as well too with all this pad because it gives them a chance to kind of recover after catch and make a move on the defender. So, yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've even seen an attempt on breaking on the ball and getting a pick. You know, the Kyrie Elam interception this year. He was playing man. He was up on this guy. You had some pressure there on the USF quarterback, and the pressure was a bad throw and overthrow to the wide receiver. But it wasn't the defensive back breaking on the ball. It's been a while since we've even seen just a pure interception in that manner, not let alone a pick six, but just an interception in that manner.
Yeah, and then even, you look back to our secondary when we had Vernon and Mayday and Poole and all those guys, right, and Kiki. I'm trying to think when the last time we stripped a ball. I know Vernon and Marcus May were strip experts.
Yeah.
And our defensive backs now do well to get a tackle, much less try to strip the ball at the same time down the field. So you just hope to see some improvement there, I guess. And, I'm just used to the Gator defenses growing up, just forcing turnover after turnover. And it just seems like we're in a big drought, and hopefully we can get that figured out sooner than later.
Yeah, you know, and you're playing a lot of dink and dunk offenses and a lot of the sustained drives because of the easy passes they can complete because of the coverage, and you know you like to turn a game, you like to give your offense an extra possession too. And look, Tennessee was turning the ball over fumble wise coming into the game last week. You didn't get one. Kentucky's been turning the ball over coming into this game with a lot of fumbles. We'll see if Florida can continue that for Kentucky, but they didn't continue that last week with Tennessee. When Tennessee was having some turnover trouble as well. So I don't know what it is. I think it's an aggression thing. Todd Grantham's defense, they're aggressive up front. You know, Florida's still aggressive up front. Not in the right way sometimes, a delayed blitz or a blitz from Timbuktu. But, you know, they're more aggressive up front than they are on the back end. And I think that's, why we see a lack of turnovers there for the Gators.
Yeah, and then last thing I'll say is if you look the last two times we played Alabama, one turnover, we probably win the game.
Yeah.
We got the one. Yeah. And Trey Deaton got absolutely rocked by Metchie and gave it back to him. And then Brent Cox just let the ball go right through his hand. So, you really wish you could have those back. But
Yeah, like I said, and I said that in the game review as well with that game. It was like that Brenton Cox dropped interception. I was like, God, that felt like the Trey Dean interception fumble, because they were like, if you just get that, that might have been the difference in the game, right, to come out on top there. So, yeah. I don't know, you know, I don't know how much they practice it. I don't know how much of an emphasis it is. You know, Mullen said when I asked him that on Monday, he was like, well, we keep the pressure up, they'll eventually come. Okay, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, man. Good sway in here. What's up, Sway? Oh,
there you go. Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, just one thing that I wanted to point out. I'm not sure if you talked about it already. I don't think Coach Savage is getting as much praise as he needs to be, because these linemen are, you know, some of the same people from last year who got some minutes, and they just were getting pushed off the ball. But now they're actually creating some space, you know, getting movement up front, and I think that really stands for, you know, everything that they've gone through over the offseason. And I just think, you know, he needs to get a lot more praise than what he has been getting pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and I think we can kind of say that for the SEC games as well this year. You know, the second half of games this year, you know, Florida was tinkering, Florida was working on things. You had a lot of backups in, but the Alabama game and the Tennessee game, you saw the run game get in its groove in about the second quarter, and then just stay in the groove the whole game. And that, you know, really, you know, attributes itself to Nick Savage and what he does. And look, I think it's going to be big on defense this week. That's just something I answered on the Gators Breakdown Plus Q&A. Somebody, you know, is bringing up, and I mentioned it earlier about tackling versus Kentucky this week. And look, we all want Florida to start better on defense and the tackling and get off to a better start there. But the difference in the game is, how is Florida tackling in the fourth quarter? You know, Kentucky's going to be coming after you, run after run, offensive lineman after offensive lineman. They're going to be beating you up all game long. So what does Florida's tackle look like in the fourth quarter? Are they going to be in shape to sit there and still make those tackles? Are they really, you know, are they going to be focused there in the fourth quarter to make, you know, if the game is close, more than likely it's because Kentucky's been running on you for most of the game, and then they're going to continue to do that in the fourth quarter. So are you going to be in shape? Are you going to be physical enough in the fourth quarter to continue making those tackles that you have all game long? So that's something else I'm going to be looking for as far as Nick Savage. And, you know, I don't want to put too much, you know, if Florida is not tackling well in the fourth quarter, I don't want to sit there and say it's Nick Savage or it's not Nick Savage. It's part of him and part of, you know, what Florida's been working on in practice this week, and you know, how they developed in the tackling game in the offseason up to this point. But, you know, if they are out there and they're making plays late, you can certainly give a whole lot of credit there to Nick Savage. But, yeah, there's something I am definitely looking for is, you know, tackling's always a topic here, especially the last couple of weeks when, you know, Florida hasn't tackled well at the beginning of games. So that's definitely something to look for. But what is Florida doing in the fourth quarter tackling-wise as well, when you're tired, you don't really want to be hitting over and over again, but you have to. You have to keep going on, and if it's a close game there. And so it's something I'm really looking forward to, is how Florida's tackling the fourth quarter of the game versus Kentucky. All right, bring Joe in here. Good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I love this thing you're doing. You do an awesome job. Listen, let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, let's start off. 5 years ago, this Gator offensive line at one point had only 6 starters during the course of that season, and now we have come a long way. What do you attribute that to? Is it John Hevesy? Is it recruiting? Is it a combination of both? I mean, what your thoughts on that?
You know, recruiting could always be better up front, but I did say heading into the season, I actually shared it this week, I was probably going to be a lot higher on this offensive line than a lot of people were, but mostly because of going back to Mullen and Hevesy's bread and butter together. You know, this is an offensive scheme that John Hevesy knows. This is what he recruits for. This is what he develops for. He'd rather his offensive linemen be moving forward 40 times a game, run blocking, than dropping back 40 times a game and pass blocking. That's his mentality. That's his style. Now, that's not an excuse for the performance the last couple of years. Don't get me wrong. Eventually, you're going to have to come around for that. I mean, look at the quarterback quarters recruiting now. You know, not all of them are the runners Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson are. So eventually down the road, when it is a Carlos Del Rio or a Jalen Kitno or Nick Evers at quarterback, and Florida's throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game, is the offensive line going to revert back to what we saw last year? It can't. You know, that's not an excuse. So he's either going to have to come around and learn how to develop and recruit for that style of play too. But let's live in the moment. Let's be happy with what we see this year from this offensive line. And this is what he knows. Yeah. This is what he recruits for. This is what he develops for. You know, and Florida's had some tough luck there at offensive line recruiting in the last couple of years. Some guys just not panning out. Some guys, you know, some four-star guys that you've signed that never made it to campus. Some guys who made it to campus never made it to spring ball and fall camp there, like Isaiah Walker there. I mean, so there's been some better recruiting, but guys never even play a snap for Florida there. But, you know, it's just a development thing right now, getting these guys in the program, you know, getting their weight down, getting their weight up, getting their strength up, and putting them in a position to play in an offense like this that he knows. This is an offense that him and Mullen and Billy Gonzalez, Mullen has spoken on this year, that they built a long time ago with Bowling Green. They've learned how to adapt. They learn who to put where and adapt that way. So it's an attribution to Hevesy knowing this offense,
right,
and really just helping. I think the big thing for me is, I mean, it's even provided depth this year.
We wondered
if Florida had five offensive linemen after last
year.
You could sit here and say Florida's got eight.
Despite
the guys who come in and played well in spell of Reese, who didn't start. You know, Braun comes in and plays really well. DeLance goes down in the game. Here comes Tarquin playing well. And then Richard Leonard comes in and plays for Kingsley there at center and plays well. Barely a drop-off in the run game production. So, you know, we wondered if Florida even has five, and now we can point to eight here for this offensive lineman. So, you know, it's a credit to the system. It's a credit to the scheme, but also a credit to this coaching staff developing for this scheme. You know, down the road, we can worry about it when, you know, Florida's passing the ball 40 times a game, and we'll see what it looks like. But, you know, we can live in the moment and enjoy the turnaround for now.
And it doesn't hurt to have two great quarterbacks back there in Richardson and Jones. And it leads me to the next question I'm going to ask here. I've never been a fan of the two-quarterback system. I've always believed that if you got a guy that is there, you know, that is consistent, you should go with him. But, you know, David, for some reason, I like this two-quarterback setup. And I think going down the road, this could be perfect for this Florida Gator offense.
Yeah, I'm not totally against it either. You know, there is the saying, if you have more than one quarterback, you have none. But I think you trust Mullen here. If he wants to play two quarterbacks, you let him go with it. I know a lot of people, you know, have a weird feeling on Mullen and quarterbacks with the whole Frank's trash thing. But for now, I think you trust him with this one and see where it goes. And look, you talk about the offensive line, and look, the quarterbacks help that in regard too. I mean, when the offensive line looked their best last year was when Emory Jones was quarterback. You know, I'm talking about as far as at least running the ball. You know, Emory Jones would still come in, and he helped the offensive line look a little bit better than they probably were, averaging almost 7 yards a carry when he come in last year. And you see that continuing this year. And it's really slowed down pass rushes. It's really slowed down defensive lines where they can't pin their ears back, and you know, when Florida does drop back and pass, because they don't know if Emory's going to take off and run, or you know what the play call actually is, so they're not as aggressive just in case a speed option is coming their way when Florida drops back to pass. So there's a lot of, when the quarterback gets involved in the run game, it really, really helps this offensive line because it really calms down the defense. And Mullen's play calling also this year has really slowed down some pass rushes. I mean, he's got linebackers thinking more so than just playing in these last couple of weeks, especially versus Alabama. Alabama's linebackers were lost at times. Mullen's play calling. So it's been a total team effort there on offensive side. For one reason, this offensive line looks better. But credit to those guys, too, for putting in the work. It starts there first, but then a total team effort with the recruiting, development, play calling, and the quarterback run game.
All right, one quick final question, then I'll go. And this is totally something different. When Kyle replaced Felipe Franks, was that the same game in which Cash Daniels tried to tear off Kyle Trask's ankle? Was that in the same game, or was that a different year?
That was the same game.
That's what I thought, and I wanted to get confirmation on it. Look, you do an outstanding job, and I really love what you're doing, and just please keep it up, man. You're great. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Ahmad Black in here once again. What's up, Ahmad? I see your mic's off, but I don't hear you, or you're not muted, but I don't see, I do not hear you. All right, might be trying to come back in here, but all right. Well, that's another thing, talking about that offensive line, that run game, going to be another test this week for the Gators. And look, Kentucky's run defense. Defense in general, it is inflated by who they've played a bit, but you know, as we said, you can only play the team in front of you. We'll see how they react. Much like we said for Tennessee last week, you know, it didn't pan out for them so well. But comparing it to Florida's offensive line and offensive run production the first couple weeks, can you do it when the competition ramps up? And Florida's offense has been able to do that the last couple weeks. So we'll see if Kentucky is in that same boat. Yes, you can only play the teams in front of you. They're doing well. Can they translate that to SEC play? They had their big game a couple weeks ago versus Missouri. They won by a touchdown there. That was a big game. That was a big game for me there. I had picked Missouri third in the SEC East over Kentucky. Okay, probably a mistake there. I just thought Missouri would be further along in their play with the coaching staff, and their offense would be further along there to beat Kentucky. But Kentucky, you know, tough physical team there. So they got their big win second week of the season. There's been a lot of talk this week. You know, has Kentucky been sandbagging the last couple of weeks because of who they're playing? Maybe so, but they had to throw a lot out there already when they played Missouri week two. I mean, that was a game they had to win. It was SEC East game, division game, a game they had to win. And like they had to, whatever the playbook is early in the season for changing OCs and they have a new quarterback, Will Levis, come in, they had to empty that playbook, I believe, to get that win over Missouri. So there's a lot of film out there. Yeah, they haven't put out a lot the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Kevin McGuffey, my guest this week previewing Kentucky, he even said offensive coordinator Liam Cohen there for Kentucky did say, you know, like we took Chattanooga lightly and probably played a lot more conservative than they should have. It almost cost them. You know, that was a game Kentucky probably should have lost just not for a pick six there for that Kentucky defense. So that's a hit on the resume against Chattanooga. And then last week versus South Carolina, they had a chance to break that game open a little more than they did, but they didn't. And South Carolina did a really good job of holding Rondell Robinson in check for the most part. I'm telling you, I went back and watched more highlights of that kid. I mean, Florida better be ready. I go back to 2020 and how 2020 started, and there was like that one receiver versus, you know, Ole Miss and South Carolina, and those games in a row, where it was and Texas A&M, you know, early in the season last year, where it was one receiver who basically took over for that offense and really hurt the Gator defense. And Kentucky's going to be trying to do that with Rondell Robinson. I mean, look for this guy. He'll be in motion like crazy before the snap. A lot of pre-snap movement with him. They'll line him up. Sometimes he'll be the only receiver on one side. If he's grouped with other receivers, he's most of the time in the slot. He's most of the time covered up when the play starts and he's on the same side as other receivers of the formation. So look for that. But he's going to be a guy that they move around a lot. They're going to try and get the ball in his hands. He'll take sweeps. He'll take reverses. shots down the field as well. I mean, he's a versatile guy there. So we'll see how Florida lines up with him. You know, him lining up in the slot sometimes, I don't know if you stick Kyrie Elam on him a lot like that. We'll see how Grantham adjusts to that. But when he's outside by himself, I think you match Elam up with him, no question. But that could also lend itself to Kentucky not putting him in that situation a whole lot, because you don't want Kyrie Elam on him if you're Kentucky. So you may line him up, you may cover him up, you may bunch him up with some other receivers to, you know, to get him open. I expect to see plenty of that there with getting Rondell Robinson involved for this Kentucky offense. So it does, you know, beg the question there: how does Florida play him at times? And all right, let's get CT82 in here. Hey, man.
Hey, Dave. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, man, it's great. Hey, listen, I want you to know I enjoy the content, enjoy the shows. You do a great job, man. Really appreciate it. One few things I want to point out. In the Tennessee game, I noticed Tennessee ran the ball pretty well on us up the middle.
Yeah.
At some occasions. And I noticed when they did that, it was Hopper was out of the game. And Diabate was more in the middle. He's just not a middle linebacker. I appreciate, you know, he's a great athlete and everything, but man, he cannot play that middle, and especially against a kid like Rodriguez, because he's such a hard runner, such a powerful runner. It's going to be that's the one key to this game that I'm more concerned about, even more than Wandale Robinson. I just don't know if we have not faced a back that physical this year yet. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I do agree with you to a point, and I brought Hopper up in the preview too, because I do think he needs to be on the field more. To me, he's the best tackler of the group. For Lyman. If he makes contact with you, you're going down. He's not really shedding off too much when he's up there to make the tackle. I do think Diabate has a place in this game, but my thing is, I think Kentucky probably knows that too. Like, Kentucky will run a lot of outside zone, and they'll run outside the tackle, especially the left side. Their best run performance throughout the whole season is running outside left tackle. And I love Diabate's pursuit. He's probably one of the best pursuit linebackers Florida has. But I could also see Kentucky identifying, all right, well, when he's on the field, we're just going to run between the tackles. Because like you said, that is his weak spot. But he is such a good pursuer. He got a lot of speed there. So I think he has a spot in this game. But if me and you notice that he struggles in between the tackles as a linebacker, then – well, we know Kentucky knows it too, so they'll probably run between the tackles a lot more if Diabate's on the field. But if they do run outside, it's because they like running outside, and they had a lot of success with it. So I don't think they shy away from it if Diabate's on the field. So that's when Diabate's going to have to make his impact on this game, is when they do run outside, use your speed, use your pursuit, and go make the tackle. But, yeah, I'd like to see a nice rotation of putting Hopper in there with Moon and Diabate. I think he needs to play probably the most snaps he's ever played as a Gator coming up versus Kentucky here. Like I said earlier, I think this is where you'll miss Ventrell Miller a little bit. I love to have him for this game. I know he is a liability in coverage sometimes, and, you know, sometimes doesn't always make the right decision in what gap to fill and stuff. But for the most part, in games like this, this is where Miller would just rack up tackles left and right. So, you know, we'll see how much of an impact him missing this game is. You know, Jeremiah Moon basically getting his first experience playing linebacker versus an offense like this that's going to come and run at you over and over again. I'd like to see how he reacts to that as well. So, mostly, I want to see Moon, Diabate, Hopper there. Bernie leaves a lot to be desired at linebacker now. That's just something that has not worked out.
No.
There, you know, that was a player I was really high coming in on as a recruit. They just, for whatever reason, cannot just find a consistent spot for him to where
he doesn't tackle well in space.
He's not physical at all.
No.
To me. And that goes to kind of your point there. A lack of physicality there with Bernie. And I know what the staff likes about him. He's rarely out of position pre-snap. I think he takes himself out of position after that. So to me, if I'm weighing it, I'm like, well, I don't care if he's in position pre-snap if he takes himself out of the play. He took the wrong angle last week on Tennessee's first touchdown instead of – he undercut the blocker instead of going over the top, and you know, that cost a touchdown there for Florida's defense. So, yeah, to me, I'm mainly at linebacker want to see Moon, Diabate, and Hopper there.
I mean, you go back to the Alabama game. I can remember early in the game where they made that little swing pass to the outside. He had that play stopped. Yeah. To second and 10. We stopped that. We probably stopped that drive, you know, and because it would have been third and long at that point. And it's just that's the kind of frustrating things. But I want to also point out to your point about Bernie, I think you're starting to see Robinson and the staff make that shift to they understand they've got to get linebackers that can tackle in space. That's why they went after a Shamar James, you know, E.J. Lightsey. You watch film on those guys, man, they can play in space. And I think that's what they're doing. And I'm glad to see them identify that on this defense and the trends of college football on offenses and all that. But one last point, Richardson. In my opinion, Richardson playing in this game, we're going to blow out Kentucky, in my opinion. I believe that. No disrespect to Kentucky. I watched Vince Young play at Texas. I watched him play in the Houston Reliant Stadium in Houston when they played Colorado in the Big 12 Championship. Yes, I know it was Colorado, but watching him every time he touched the ball, you thought you knew something special was going to happen, and it was just that way even when even when he was younger at Texas. And Richardson gives me those same vibes. He just does. Every time he touches the ball, you just know or you feel that something special is fixing to happen. And I just think he's got that kind of presence about him. And I think him coming back is going to give the team a big lift. Because I know he's very popular on the team anyway, even before he showed the fans what he can do this year, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited to get him back out there, too. Mullen seemed to be that way as well, and getting him back. I mean, look, there's just a different explosiveness with him on the field. I mean, I've said it all week, and you're probably tired of hearing about it. You know, this Gator offense the last couple weeks, they're still explosive, but it's been a lot of doubles and triples. You know, the explosives are still there, but you're still missing that home run there the last couple weeks, and that's what he brings to the table. And look, and I think he brings the home run ability to some other players as well. I mean, if he comes in the game now with the film that he's put on the first couple of weeks, teams know that he is explosive and he's going to get the ball. But now that might open up a bigger run for Malik Davis. That might open up a bigger run for Naquan Wright, because the teams are going to be so focused on him now that, you know, and they have to be. So that could open up some even bigger plays there for some of these receivers down the field with that rocker step play, or you know, some of these running backs now with the zone read. It might make an easier run for them because the focus is – and look, you know Anthony Richardson brings that to the table, so he's going to get a lot of the focus on his own read. It's like, okay, if he hands it off to the running back, maybe we can stop that guy for, you know, that running back might run for 15, 20 yards, but if we let AR go, it's going to go for 80. And that's what I think teams' defenses have to worry about now, and that really could open up some bigger plays for the other guys on the field as well.
All great points, man. Hey, I appreciate it. You have a good day, and go Gators, man.
Go Gators, man. Yeah, I would go back to that linebacker talk too. There, when you mentioned the C-Rob and the recruitment there, I do think there is a shift, and I think, you know, what we see at linebacker now are still a lot of guys that weren't necessarily recruited for that position. You're seeing Diabate there, and look, he came in freshman year, played more defensive, you know, rush in there, getting to the backfield, and then he's a linebacker. Amari Bernie comes in, plays that nickel position his first year, and then he's a linebacker. Now, I do think we've seen a shift, and you see it on the roster now. Jeremiah Williams is on the roster as a freshman. You see Chief Borders as well. I think eventually you're getting more of those true linebackers in that spot. But also, you know, you go and look at Derek Wingo. You know, he wasn't a linebacker in high school. You know, that was another guy. Now, they at least saw that early enough to where he came in and played linebacker as a freshman. He made that shift as a freshman before he even played a snap for Florida. They knew they were going to make him a linebacker, but some of the linebackers Florida, and look, I guess I got to go to Jeremiah Moon too. Jeremiah Moon wasn't playing linebacker before this year. He's a guy they've had to shift from rush in, buck, defensive end, to now a linebacker. So a lot of the guys that you're counting on at linebacker right now, your top three mostly as far as snaps go, Bernie, Diabate, Moon, were not are not traditional linebackers, at least in the Florida sense. But now, you know, you're getting Hopper more involved, who definitely is a linebacker. And you got some younger guys. And I think that transition is going to happen where you see more true linebackers. But Florida's relying on linebackers now who weren't necessarily recruited for that position. So I think that's definitely an interesting point there and something that may stand out when they play versus Kentucky Saturday night. So a lot of speed there, a lot of speed. But I think, you know, it's missing that consistent physicality there. And you hope it doesn't show up in a big game like this versus Kentucky. They stood up well. It all starts up front anyway. Like, how many times in this offseason, and also kind of going back and looking at last year, say you need better play up front to help protect these linebackers a little bit. You need these guys to eat up offensive linemen so that all offensive linemen can't get to the second level and eat these linebackers alive. I mean, we've seen some improvement there. You know, you've seen Gervin Dexter take on double teams, triple teams at times. You've seen Valentino Newkirk and get in the backfield and make some plays. That's what's going to have to happen versus Kentucky. Now, it is a big game for these linebackers because there's going to be a lot of times when the guys up front do their job, and it's going to be one-on-one versus Rodriguez and one-on-one versus Smoke, and those guys are going to have to make that tackle, and it starts up front. But what you don't want to see is that defensive line not do their job, and then you have two or three offensive linemen at the second level, and they're taking the linebackers out of the play altogether, and the run goes for 15, 20 yards. So it is going to be imperative. And if you have these lighter linebackers, if you have more of these speed guy linebacker, that your defensive front does their job, and not necessarily all these linebackers having to shed so many blocks. You know, at least you want the one-on-one versus the playmakers there for the Kentucky offense. Yeah, but definitely a front seven game here for the Gators at defensive line and linebacker. Going to be the difference in the game on defense, of course. Not breaking any news, not having an original thought, but that's just, you know, how it can play out there up front for the Gators. All right, going about 40 minutes here. I am recording this, so if you jumped in late or anything like that, it will be available on replay. Yeah, I think Twitter is supposed to be doing something on Spaces where you can record it easier. So got the program running behind the scenes to record this and put it out there for you guys. But I think Twitter's going to come around and I think help us out here and have a recording feature for Spaces. But glad we can do this. Glad you guys hop on every Monday, every Friday after this. Be sure to join Gators Breakdown Plus if you want some post-game action right after Dan Mullen does his post-game press conference. Hop on Gators Breakdown Plus Discord server and kind of do a post-game chat, post-game wrap-up there. So a lot of fun there that we have right after the games. Before I get Will in here, supporting sponsors. I won't berate you with the sponsors, but support Four Rivers. And if you want some barbecue this week, enjoy the games, full SEC slate of games. You don't want to be cooking all day. Go get you some Four Rivers, $5 off, $25 or more when you mention Gators Breakdown. If you want to bet, go to MyBookie. And if you want to, you know, stay clean for your lady friends, get some Manscaped products out there. All right, Will, here we go. Let me get you in here, man. Will Thomas. Hey, man.
What's going on? Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yes, sir, man. I was seeing what your prediction is for Saturday, man, and how you think they're going to hold up.
Yep. I think Florida's going to hold up good. I do expect a healthy dose of AR, and that does kind of what CT82 was talking about. That raises my score prediction a bit there for Florida. I think that gets your explosives out there. I do think Florida would need the explosives, you know, to keep it from a tight game. You know, look, that's not to say I don't believe Emory Jones can win this game or whatever. It's just we've seen this offense lend itself to Emory Jones to some long drives, long 10, 11, 12-play drives. So that's going to slow the game down a little bit, and I think keep the scoring down a little bit. But with AR in there, I think it does give you some more explosives there. But, yeah, I got the Gators 30-17. That's just the way I see it breaking out there. I think it's close. I think it's probably 24-17 in the fourth quarter. Florida gets that late score. I think it's 30-17. Yeah, but that's how I see it. It'll be a big play. It'll be a difference.
Okay, so you don't think we'll pull a Georgia and Vanderbilt out, huh?
No, I don't see that. I do think the things Kentucky does well in running the ball and getting a playmaker like Wandale Robinson involved is, you know, leave some questions for me with this Florida defense. I can't see that kind of performance because I'm still not as high on this defense as I thought I'd be. I like the defensive line, and I want to see the secondary play with better eye control.
Wrap up,
better,
basically.
Yeah, and you play with better discipline. If Kentucky gets that run game going, you have to start worrying a little bit that play action game is going to get the best of this secondary a little bit. And so I think they'll hit that play a time or two for some big plays, but I do think we'll kind of see there'll be a quarter where this Florida defense will just completely shut down Kentucky like they have the last couple games, and that'll be the difference in the game.
Okay, then. And another thing on Emory Jones, like, I love Emory Jones. I really do. But, like, the plays that he break for, like, 10 and 15, I've been watching that. Like, Anthony Richardson, like, he's scoring on those. You know, that's the only difference I see between them. Like you say, explosive.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're what you have right now, I think you play both quarterbacks. I think you can win with both quarterbacks. I think, you know, Dan Mullen's got to find the right balance when you look at it that way. But we'll see. AR gets that third drive of the game. We'll see if that's how it plays out, like it did the first couple guys or first couple games of the season. And, you know, see what happens with that drive. You hope Florida's already up 7-0, 10-0, 14-0 at that point. And he comes in and extends the lead and gives Florida the third score of the game. But, you know, a lot to look forward to there with AR getting back on the field and how it just opens up this offense. You know, we'll see how Emory Jones reacts.
Right.
We'll see the whole looking over the shoulder. I mean, that's a complete guess. You know, if he's looking over his shoulder, how does it affect him? You know, we'll see. I mean, there's a couple factors this week when you look at that. You know, is he's playing in a road game? Is that more of a factor than him looking over his shoulder for AR? Or is AR, AR there going – sorry, I had to mute that. It was getting loud in the background, Will. But we'll see how it affects Emory Jones with AR back in the fold.
Okay, now, did you hear anything about Elam, or is he going to play?
I expect him to play. I think he probably took it a little bit light in practice this week, more precautionary. I was told last week if it was a much bigger game, if Florida had been playing Alabama last week, he probably would have been playing.
Okay.
We'll see. Mullen's kind of coy about injuries, and we'll see that, but kind of asking around. Saturday.
But that's all I got for you, Dave, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, well. Thanks, man. All right. A lot there. As we discussed the last almost hour or so, let me get it scaly in here before we wrap it up. All right, Scaly, puppy. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
All right, so I got a question. Do you think that we see throughout the season Desmond Watson get into the rotation at all? And I'm joining a little late, so I don't know if anyone's asked what your prediction on the Georgia and Arkansas game is.
No, I haven't discussed that. But, yeah, a good point on Desmond Watson, because with this Kentucky team, and as much as they like to run the ball, you know, it's going to be a physical game up front. And this may be a game where we see more Watson than we have. Like, look, he's played in the big games. He's played versus Alabama. A couple weeks ago, made some plays early, when he come in and play in that game. So I absolutely think we'll see him. This is now I don't know how much, you know, I don't know where his progression is in being able to play a lot of snaps. That was the big worry for him coming in. You know, of course, with that weight, can he get more in shape? And at this time of the year, you know, you're not really working on that. That's a lot of preseason work that you have to do to get in shape to play a whole lot of snaps. But I think he'll certainly have a place in this game, as much as Kentucky likes to run the ball, as much as they like to be physical up front. You're going to have to rotate a lot of those guys up front. So I expect to see him in this game, especially in short yardage situations, goal line to go situations. I could see them saving Desmond Watson more so for those type of plays, when you have time to bring him off the sideline. So Absolutely. I think as the season goes along, we'll see him some more as well as he gets some experience. That's another thing right now. But you know, a lot of times it's, hey, just go be a space eater, and that's your job. So I think we'll see that a good bit tomorrow versus Kentucky. Rotate some guys in, get some guys healthy, you know, keep some guys healthy, keep some guys fresh for the end of the game. Because as I mentioned earlier, I think fourth quarter tackling is going to be a big topic in a close game there. So you're going to have to rotate up front, make sure those guys are as fresh as they can be in the fourth quarter. Then Georgia, Arkansas. I got Georgia winning that one. I'm torn on if I think it's a blowout or not. I think Arkansas's defense is really good. They can give Georgia some troubles. There's been some talk out there that JT Daniels still may not be fully healthy, dealing with oblique pain still, and that he may not start. I haven't really been able to chase that down a whole lot and get some confirmation there. So we'll see how much that plays into it. We'll see if Kentucky's playmaker or Arkansas's playmakers are healthy, ready to go. I know KJ Jefferson was injured last week. It looks like he'll play, and Arkansas is going to need him to play at quarterback if they want a chance to beat Georgia. So I hope he plays, because also I think it gives us a good indication. Georgia hasn't played a good offense all year. Arkansas has been explosive. Arkansas has been explosive in the run game. Arkansas has been able to hit some one-on-one shots with their playmakers because their run game is working. It'd give us a good indication on this Georgia defense. It'd give us a good indication on an offense that's similar to Florida in some ways, being able to run the quarterback, rely on the run game, if that can work versus the Georgia defense. I'm not saying if it does, if Arkansas can't do it, that Florida can't do it in a few weeks, but I think if you see Arkansas have some success with it, then you can feel better about Florida being able to do those same things coming up in a few weeks. So there's a lot to keep an eye on in this game. Glad it's a nooner. Glad we get to watch it. Florida couldn't have picked a better time for a road game with all this big SEC slate. You know, so if you're not at the Swamp, sometimes if you're tailgating and hanging out with friends and stuff, you don't get to watch all the games. You don't get to consume all the games like you want to. You get to do that with a road game now with Florida and Kentucky. So good time for a road game because we get to watch these big SEC slates, the big SEC slate of games tomorrow.
Right. I definitely think this game will be important to watch because I do feel like Arkansas's offense may be, and no slight towards them, like a slightly less talented version of Florida's offense, at least that what they want to attack. So I definitely think that's important. Then I also have one last question for you. At least for the next couple games, for the second cornerback position, do you think it's going to be Jason Marshall, Avery Helm, or Elijah Blades?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like the physicality Blades brought to the position last week in what we saw. Like Marshall more so than Helm in a rewatch. When you go and look at what guys were able to do, Helm got away with some drops by the Tennessee receivers, some missed throws by quarterbacks for Tennessee. So I'm leaning more Marshall right now, and then maybe give me more Blades as well. I think we'll see that position battle a good bit coming up the next couple weeks and kind of maybe solidifying that for the rest of the season. You'll have a bye week before Georgia. Maybe you figure something out there as well. But right now, if you're asking me, I'd like to see more Marshall and more Blades as we move forward right now.
Also, I know I said one last thing, but then I thought of something. Perkins, he impressed me week one, and I feel like we have not seen – like we've seen definitely more Trevez Johnson than we have Perkins. I don't know if there was an injury or they just felt Trevez Johnson with his – being on the team longer, obviously, is a better fit. So
that's part of it. If you go back, there's times in the Alabama game where Perkins was lost pre-snap, and I don't think the coaches like that. Trevez, and maybe to the staff, maybe too much, but you can't have guys out of position pre-snap. Completely understand that. So, you know, Trevez lines up, and he got better after a slow start in the Bama game. But you know, that lack of a tackle last week on Tennessee's first touchdown, he didn't even try to tackle after Breen missed a tackle. He's right there with Torrance and can make a, you know, has a chance to try and make the tackle, and he doesn't even really try. So that rubs me the wrong way. But Perkins, the last couple weeks, looked lost versus Alabama pre-snap. And then last week you had some other defenders having to tell him where to line up, where to be. So it looks like he's still trying to learn the playbook, to, you know, and the scheme on defense a little bit. And the staff's going to probably keep him out for a lot of time to try and limit a big play in that regard. So mainly to me is, I'm like you. I like the physical ability. I like what he brings to the table as far as, you know, just playing. But it does look like as competition ramped up and you played some better offenses, you played some better schemes out there on offense, that he did look a little lost at times. And that's probably what's keeping him off the field.
All right. I appreciate it. And as always, go Gators.
Go Gators. Thank you, man. All right. That will do it. Almost an hour here. There we go. Everybody, thank you so much for joining this Twitter Spaces again. We'll be back Monday morning to do it all again. We'll talk about this game, get your thoughts after the game on Monday, get your reactions, of course, with Florida and Kentucky. Hopefully we're talking about a victory there. Everybody's happy, happy, happy on Monday morning. As I said, if you want some post-game coverage, live post-game coverage after the game, you can join Gators Breakdown Plus. We'll have a Discord post-game show on there. You can catch the game review on Sunday. We'll do the Florida-Kentucky game review on Sunday, of course, like we do during the season after every game. So, all right, everybody, go listen to Gators Breakdown this week. All the episodes there, if you've missed any of them. A lot more Florida-Kentucky talk there. And more of my thoughts on how the game will play out. But, everybody, thank you so much for joining this Twitter Spaces, and we'll see you again next week.